Chapter 58. Luciform. Luciform. L-U-C-I-F-O-R-M. Like light, having, in some respects, the nature of light, resembling light. From Latin, lux, lucis, light, plus form, from formis, having the shape or type of. Kurama leaves the kids playing hide-and-seek in the dark with Utakata to watch over them, and heads around the edge of the academy. The door of the administration building is standing open, and there are several squads of shinobi with different hitayate milling around the ground floor. A few of them eye him with contained hostility, but Kurama ignores the stares and heads for the Hokage's office. He can't think of many people who would be stupid enough to pick a fight, but if someone does, he'll handle it. The room right outside the office boasts even more shinobi. These ones a lot more alert and aware than those downstairs. Guards, Kurama thinks, recognizing Namiyashi Raido and Uzuki Yugo, hovering by one of the windows. Mei and Zabuza are across from them. Zabuza leaning against the wall and looking amused, Mei pacing in a tight circle and clearly annoyed. Between talking to the assassins he most vividly remembers dying for his Naruto, and talking to the Kirinin he more or less knows, Kurama picks the latter. He pushes through the suddenly even warier stares and comes to a halt next to the swordsman, arching a brow at him. "Something entertaining, shark face?" he asks dryly. Even through the bandages, he can see Zabuza's smirk.
"Terumi doesn't trust our half-sized Kage not to set off the next world war if she isn't behind him playing censor."
"Of course I don't trust him," Mei hisses, though she keeps her voice low enough that she can at least pretend she's being mindful of propriety. "It's Yagura!"
"Half-sized?" Kurama asks dryly.
"Aren't you being a bit generous there?"
The smile Zabuza gives him in response is wolfish, and he straightens to his full height, pointedly looking down. "Firecracker, the only way you've got the high ground to say that is if I get you a box."
"Fuck him," Kurama decides.
And with a sharp growl, he body slams Zabuza back into the wall, sweeps his feet out from under him, and dumps him on his ass.
"You fish-faced fucker," he snaps,
stalks past a laughing Mei, and heads for the office.
His own fault for expecting anything like intelligent conversation from a man who thinks the piranha look is attractive.
"I've got a room at the inn to myself, Red," Zabuza calls after him, sounding like he's grinning as he pushes back to his feet. "You're welcome to stop by any time, you know."
"I thought you said no encore,"
Kurama growls right back as he shoves through the doors and into the meeting room. "Fuck off!" Five Kage, three village heads, Kakashi, and Kushina all turn to stare at him, and Kurama wonders if it would be reasonable to march right back out and punch Zabuza in his stupid, smug face. There's a long moment of silence, and then Yagura sighs, exasperated, and folds his arms across his chest.
"Please don't take him up on that. I'd hate to have to kill my own guard for being insufferable tomorrow."
"Not a problem," Kurama bites out, and the glare he casts around the room dares anyone else to comment.
Kushina especially,
because she looks practically gleeful.
Disturbingly gleeful.
He narrows his eyes at her, and she grins right back.
"Kurama,"
Sarutobi says politely, And he's the only one besides Kushina up on her perch and Onoki in a chair by the wall, who's currently sitting, seated behind his desk with his pipe in his hand. I was just about to send a messenger for you. Do you have a moment? Kurama hesitates, but the kids will be fine with Utagata. And the teenager had said Han and Roshi were on their way, so it's probably all right to linger. Besides, he needs a favor, as far as finding a house is concerned, so he might as well do what he can to get on the Sandaime's good side. Sure, what do you need? Sarutobi gives him a faint, tired smile and pushes to his feet. Let me introduce you to the newly arrived. Tamario, headwoman of Kusa, and Yone, headwoman of Tani. Tamario, Yone, Uzumaki Kurama. A pleasure. The tall, white-haired woman with a Kusa hitayate says, and even though her expression is stern, Kurama can read the amusement in her eyes. Especially given that my village has no jinchuriki for you to steal. The other headwoman laughs, light and airy, as she flips a fan open to cover the bottom of her face, though her dark eyes are sharp. Except for the eyes, she has Fu's coloring. Dark skin, pale hair, if in a shade of blue instead of green, and a stocky build with obvious muscles beneath her fishnets. I couldn't agree more. The amount of trouble you've managed to stir up in less than 2 weeks is impressive, Uzumaki. Charmed, Kurama says without an ounce of sincerity, and gives Sarutobi a narrow glance. The smile Sarutobi returns is wry. Other introductions are not needed, I assume? It's not like he's going to forget who the Kage are, especially when he more or less made off with all of their jinchuriki. Kurama gives Sarutobi the look that question deserves, and the old man raises his hands in answer. As I assumed, we have several outstanding questions, though, if you would care to answer them. Well, someone's going out of their way to be polite, Kurama thinks, leaning back against the door and eyeing that peaceable expression warily. He doesn't trust it at all. And even if Sarutobi has Genma investigating Danzo, he doesn't trust that Danzo won't get his hands on the information somehow. Feeding that freak news about Akatsuki, Obito, or the Jinchuriki in general isn't exactly high on Kurama's to-do list. He conspired with Madara once already, after all. There's no saying he won't do it again. Fine, he allows, because there's clearly no getting out of this with anything short of a temper tantrum, and as tempting as it is to wreck things and entirely divert the leader's attention, it's just slightly possible that Kurama will need their goodwill at some point in the near future. He'd rather earn it this way than make the kids think he'd force them to play nice. Kakashi's watching him, close and careful, but Kurama pointedly ignores his gaze. The Koppinen is hard to read on a good day with his hitayate up. Like this, still wrapped up in his uniform, half hidden in shadows, with other eyes on him and something to hide, Kurama doesn't have much of a chance at all.
My brother says there's 9+1 makes things more fun.
B chimes in before A can finish.
Like I said, now there's 10 bijou in my head.
With a growl, A drags B into a headlock and shakes him lightly.
That's all that's in your head, idiot. Be quiet.
Over the sound of B's somewhat rhyming protests, Rasa says sharply, I want to know why you didn't simply inform the villages of the threat to begin with. If we had known, we could have taken precautions and protected. Kurama scoffs and doesn't bother to hide it. You're acting like I took the kids to help you, he retorts. Fuck no, it was for them. How many fucking assassins did you send after Gaara before I got there? He's 6. Yone's fan snaps shut with a suspiciously metallic sound, edges glinting. She looks Rasa over carefully, like she's sizing him up for a coffin, and says politely, Come again? Rasa doesn't waver, dark eyes still pinned on Kurama. His seal is flawed. There's nothing to be done about it. The Ichibi has too much access to his mind, and my village holds more souls than just my son, Uzumaki. I don't have time to waste on sentiment, not when acting saves lives.
You asked his own uncle to kill him,
Kurama snarls, disbelieving.
He loved Yashamaru.
Rasa's expression goes blank with shock, then instantly shades towards fury. And he takes a step forward.
How do you know that? He demands sharply. That was a top secret mission, known only to myself and Yashamaru. You shouldn't.
But I do. Kurama gives him a grin, all teeth and threat.
Does it make you wonder what else I know?
He sweeps a glance around the office, meeting stares that are a mix of wary and hostile. And it's mostly an empty threat, but they don't know that.
This, says Sarutobi quietly, is not the point.
He taps his pipe harshly against the edge of the desk, then takes a long pull as all eyes shift to him. A stern look, and he adds, we are wasting time looking at the past when the future is of much more immediate concern. Kurama, will Akatsuki try again? Kurama hesitates, not wanting to drop the topic, but with the weight of both Kakashi and Kushina's eyes on him, he gives a grudging tip of his head.
Toby's a dramatic asshole, but he's determined. He's not going to stop trying until we take away all hope of his plan working. And for that, we need to kill Zetsu.
The plant one, Onoki clarifies. And when Kurama nods, he huffs disgustedly. Like Senju Hashirama. What a coincidence! Are you telling me there's no connection there? Konoha is not to be trusted.
Listen, asshole!
Kurama growls, and he's irritated enough that it rumbles through the air like the precursor to an earthquake.
Madara making you shit your pants that one time doesn't mean anything except that you're a coward who can't let go of things. So unless you've got something helpful to contribute, you should shut up before I make you.
Onoki goes white, eyes widening, and his mouth snaps shut. Kusa's headwoman glances at Onoki, brows raising, then at Kurama, and then back at Sarutobi, who looks equally startled.
Uchiha, Madara? She asks. What does Konoha's first missing nin have to do with this?
Zetsu used him to start all of this.
Kurama answers gruffly.
He's a bastard, and I wouldn't spit on him if he were on fire. But he didn't pull his delusions of grandeur out of thin air. Zetsu's trying to get his creator, the real leader of Akatsuki, released from her seals. And Madara was his catalyst for doing that.
Madara can't be behind this, Hisen says, but the Taki headman looks a few shades paler than before.
He'd be almost 100 years old at this point.
Tobi was his student, Kakashi puts in unexpectedly, and when Kurama raises a brow at him, he crinkles his visible eye in a bullshit smile. He's trying to pass himself off as Madara, but he's too short.
And Madara is dead, Kurama adds. I'd like to keep it that way, personally.
Well, without Orochimaru sitting in a jail cell, it should be fine, you know?
Kushina's smile is cheery, with just a hint of blood behind it.
He's the one who brought us back.
Which doesn't make Tobi any less of a pain in the ass, Kurama counters. We fucked up 2/3 of their plan, but he still has Kisame helping him, and Sasori. Konan too, if she managed to survive this snake bite.
A makes a sound of great annoyance, finally releasing B and letting him straighten up.
How do you even know this? He demands. Were you a part of Akatsuki?
This time the snarl that tears from Kurama's throat is the very furthest thing from human. And he lunges before he can remember why that's actually a bad idea. Kakashi darts forward and grabs him before he can claw A's face off. And it's only because Kakashi is something like a friend that Kurama doesn't just go straight through him to get to the Raikage.
Shut your fucking mouth! He hisses.
And A is startled but defensive. already pulling up to yell right back. Kaguya murdered my best friend. She destroyed every fucking thing I know, and she's behind everything I've lost in my life. You think I'd fucking help her?
Kakashi's hands close just a little more tightly around his biceps, and he pushes lightly at Kurama, urging him to step back. Mama, he murmurs. And Kurama has never wanted to calm down less, but doesn't try to resist.
I think Raikage-sama understands that now, Kurama. It was just a mistake.
Kurama growls, but allows Kakashi to haul him back towards the door, though he doesn't try to make it easy for him. It was a dumbass mistake, just like your ideas to turn children into weapons.
Kushina laughs, bright and cheery, though it doesn't reach her eyes, as she leans forward a little on her perch.
I'm not too fond of that part either, you know, she agrees. Ototo, you made it so all the Jinchuriki are friends with their Bijuu, didn't you?
A jerks around to glare at B, who looks equally surprised. But Kurama ignores the byplay with a tip of one shoulder. Crossing his arms over his chest, he leans back against the door again and gives Kushina a grumpy look for the title. Naruto only just started talking to the Kyuubi, and Orochi's relationship with Son is still kind of rocky. Han hasn't mentioned anything about Kokuo either, but the others? Yeah, they're doing okay. Rasa makes a choked, disbelieving sound. With half a glance over at Kurama, Kakashi hums in agreement.
Gaara and Utagata were the ones to kill Kakuzu, he says almost lightly, as if unaware of the impact of the words. Apparently Saiken and Shukaku work well together.
Kurama watches the expression that crosses the Kage's and Headman's faces, and can't restrain a snort. Harder to control a weapon that isn't fighting itself, isn't it? He says. And when A, Onoki, and Hisen all turn glares on him, he grins without humor, showing teeth.
Sarutobi sighs, rubbing a hand over his face, and wraps his knuckles against the desktop.
Kurama, as hard as it may be to believe, I did not ask you here to debate claims on the Jinchuriki or the morality of their creation. Akatsuki is a far greater threat right now, given what happened to Kiri.
Always the peacekeeper, Sarutobi, A mutters, and it's more than a little sour.
There's a moment of tight, tense silence, and then Yagura takes a breath.
Hatake told you most of it, he says, and if there are lines of strain in his face, he hides them well, leaning back into the shadows where his expression is mostly indistinct. After the Sanbi resurfaced in Kiri, it was captured and sealed into me, and shortly afterwards I was appointed Mizukage. I was ambushed in my own home by a man with Sharingan eyes, and my next clear memory is Kurama and Utagata breaking the genjutsu I was under.
Kurama half expects them to ask how Madara could have laid a genjutsu like that if he was dead, but no one does. Reasonable, probably. It wouldn't be the first time a Sharingan eye got passed on to a non-Uchiha, and everyone here knows that, largely because they've all tried to get their hands on them at one time or another. Instead, Tamario makes a quiet sound of agreement and inclines her head, pulling herself up a little straighter.
I agree that Akatsuki should be our focus right now. If anything has to be done about the situation of the Jinchuriki, we need to be alive to do it, and it sounds as though Akatsuki will not give us that luxury easily. I, for one, would prefer not to test whether this Tobi's eyes can control normal shinobi just as easily as Jinchuriki.
Madara was dangerous enough on his own, Onoki grumbles, looking both grim and faintly sour. With allies sharing goals, I second the decision. You say you destroyed their base?
Thoroughly, Kurama confirms. And it's easier to feel the dark satisfaction of shattering the Gedo Mazo here and now, without having to worry about surprise attacks or Kakashi bleeding out in front of him. It wasn't their only one, but I don't know where the backups are located. Probably close to Ame, since Pain controls it.
Which is another problem, Rasa points out. We're technically holding the headman of another village right now,
As soon as Ame gets word of it, they're going to want him back. Kurama hesitates, because that's a good point, and turns it over for a moment. They'll probably use Konan to come at things politically, he says, and it takes effort not to grimace. Provided she survives, she's second in command there, and the people love her. He said, huffs, casting him a narrow look. Easy enough to stall her, he dismisses. This Pain has never declared himself beyond his borders. As far as any other country is aware, it's still Hanzo in charge of the village. We ask for proof, and once she provides it, we stall again.
As little as I enjoy red tape, it has to be good for something,
Sarutobi sounds amused.
Better to use it here than military might. Thank you, Hisen. A neat delay until we reach a solution.
Kurama has his own ideas about how to talk Nagato around, so hopefully they won't actually need one when it gets to that point. He wasn't planning to bother when Nagato was just another enemy, but with him being captured and conveniently close, he might as well. His Naruto always regretted not being able to save the man after all, and Kushina probably won't mind adding another Uzumaki to her clan. The two head women trade glances, and Yone flicks her fan open, then closed again.
I put my village on alert before we departed, she says lightly, and brought along several squads of my best shinobi. If Akatsuki aims to capture the Jinchuriki, Konoha is our best place to mount a defense.
The wards here are the oldest of any village,
Tamario agrees.
I assume your barriers can be fine-tuned to pick up this Tobi even with his ability?
Sarutobi inclines his head.
Tobirama-sensei's seals are still some of the strongest in existence, he says,
and there's a note of tired pride in his voice.
Now that all of you have arrived, I'll have the barrier squads reactivate them immediately. Shall we reconvene tomorrow to distribute our forces?
A snorts, grabbing his brother by the back of the neck, as B tries to slip away towards the door.
If you're feeling your age already, Sarutobi, appoint a successor or leave things to...
He had a successor, Kushina cuts in, and her voice is like the crack of a whip as she leaps down to land with a menacing grace just out of A's reach. Kurama knows her well enough to recognize the grief on her face, even if it's mostly buried. He knows that one misplaced word is all it's going to take to turn that grief into rage.
Minato gave his life to save Konoha, you know. He was a great man and a great Hokage. And if you're gonna forget that he existed, I'll...
Kurama catches her by the shoulder, and when she spins to grab him in preparation for a flip, he blocks her hand, grabs her elbow, and pulls her away.
No one is forgetting Minato, he tells her.
And if it's sharp, it's because he knows precisely how to catch her attention. But there's no way to bring him back, and right now Sarutobi is Hokage. Focus, Kushina. Kushina stares at him, and for a moment there's rage boiling right beneath the surface, tangible and tempting. A lifetime ago, Kurama would have reached for it, fed it, used it. And just as she would have then, Kushina contains it, strangles it, forces it down, and takes a breath. For all her temper, she's one of the best Kurama has ever met at controlling her emotions, even if it doesn't seem like it at first glance. She reaches out for him, drops her head against his shoulder, and sags against him with a weary sound. But the moment of vulnerability doesn't linger. Before Kurama can do more than touch her back, she's pulling away, shoving her hair out of her face, and she turns on her heel.
Come on, Atoto, let's go. I'm bored.
Kurama growls after her, even if it doesn't make her so much as twitch, and ignores Sarutobi's muttered prayer as he steps out of the path of the departing Kage and village heads. There are no more protests regarding the Jinchuriki,
which is good, because Kurama's patience is at the very end of its tether.
Yes, Kurama?
The Hokage asks, faintly weary as he rises from behind his desk and turns off the lamp.
I assume you had something to discuss?
Yeah. Kurama folds his hands into the sleeves of his haori, glancing back at where Kakashi is hovering. The Kappinin has his nose buried in his book, though, and is pretending not to pay attention.
The kids are gonna need somewhere to sleep, and I think Roshi and Han at least are gonna stick around.
Sarutobi pauses, frowning faintly, and tips his head in agreement.
Indeed, and it seems a bad idea to send 8, possibly 9 Jinchuriki to a civilian run-in. Kurama snorts, because a bad idea doesn't even begin to cover it.
He watches Sarutobi cross to one of the large filing cabinets lining the walls and rocks back on his heels, content to wait for a moment.
Minato and Kushina's house would have been the perfect solution, Sarutobi says, mostly to himself as he rifles through papers. A shame it was destroyed in the Kyuubi attack.
Kurama winces, because Kushina probably has no idea, but she's going to find out. And he can already guess that it's not going to be pretty. Not that it was precisely his fault, but that's probably not enough to save him.
Damn it.
However, Sarutobi says, with a note of cheer in his voice, oblivious to Kurama's sudden trepidation. The idea is a sound one, and an actual house will likely make all of you more comfortable. Ah, there it is. He surfaces with a handful of forms and returns to his desk, fumbling with his glasses as he switches the light back on. Here we are. There's an empty house just past Training Ground 7 that used to belong to a small clan which died out in the Second War. It stood empty ever since, seeing as the Uzumaki clan is currently landless because of an attack they helped repel. It will be simple enough to deed it to Kushina.
There are perks to living in a place that's entirely under military rule, Kurama thinks, faintly amused. He forgets, sometimes, just how much power the Kage have over their villages, and how little say anyone else has in matters.
Thanks, he says gruffly, taking the papers as Sarutobi passes them over. I'll hand these over whenever she wanders back around.
Sarutobi's smile is wry as he slides his bifocals off and sets them aside.
Kushina is many things, but careful with paperwork is not one of them. Get her signature, then file those with the records office tomorrow, and it will be uncontestable. Good night, Kurama.
The clear dismissal irks a bit, because Kurama definitely isn't used to being dismissed by anyone. But he tamps down on his anger, tucks the papers away, and heads for the door. Kakashi falls into step with him as he starts down the stairs, not saying anything, but Kurama gives him a sideways look anyway.
You, he says dryly, really need to stop jumping in front of me when I'm pissed. At some point, I'm just going to go through you.
Kakashi gives him a smile that's probably 80% bullshit.
I think I can survive, he says lightly.
But as they drop down into the main building, a subtle tension slides through his frame, and his attention darts to something ahead of them. A little surprised, Kurama turns as well. The Kusa headwoman is still present, expression just as stern as in the meeting. But there's a small figure next to her, barely older than Naruto, who's practically vibrating with contained energy. A familiar figure, Kurama thinks, looking down at a miniature Uzumaki Karin, who's staring up at him with wide eyes behind her glasses. Before he can speak so much as a word, Karin whips around to tug at Tamario's pant leg, hissing,
"Tamario-san, his chakra! His chakra is really bright and warm!"
"Karin!" Another girl, several years older, and a chunin judging by her uniform, hisses. This one sporting the same long white hair and pale gray eyes as Tamario. She catches Karin's arm pointedly, tugging her away, and adds,
"Be polite!"
There's contained exasperation in the headwoman's face as she meets Kurama's gaze.
"Uzumaki, there's someone I think you should meet."
Without acknowledging her, Kurama crouches down to get on Karin's eye level and offers her a crooked smile.
"Another Uzumaki, huh? I'd recognize that hair anywhere."
Karin freezes in the older girl's grasp, glancing between her captor, the headwoman, and Kurama, with something that's very close to desperation.
"Let her go, Ryuzetsu."
Tamario orders, though her tone is closer to amused than sharp. To Kurama, she adds, "This is Uzumaki Karin. Once she heard your name and why we were coming here, she threatened to run away and find you herself. I thought it would be best to bring her to you directly, given the alternatives." As soon as Ryuzetsu loosens her grip, Karin bolts towards Kurama, coming to a sharp stop right in front of him. She pushes her glasses up, then says firmly, "You're an Uzumaki too!" It's not exactly a question, but Kurama nods anyway. "I am. Uzumaki Kurama, nice to meet you." He casts a careful glance over her and has to swallow a low growl. Karin already has bite marks showing under the sleeves of her shirt, large and stark against the thinness of a child's forearms. Karin looks him over closely, like he's something she's going to buy in the market, and then tips her chin up and says, "My mom died healing people, and I don't want to do it anymore. Your chakra is nice, so I'm going to stay here." That's not a question either, but Kurama hides his amusement as he glances up at Tamario, arching a brow. The head woman snorts faintly. "Clearly, I have no say in this," she says dryly, answering his unspoken question. "Karin and her mother were both valuable as medics, but while we had an agreement with her mother to give her refuge in return for healing, that doesn't extend to Karin herself. If she wants to leave, I would rather be with my blessing than after you invade my village with 8 Jinchuriki in tow and simply take her." Kurama rolls his eyes, because that's absolutely an exaggeration and definitely not something he would do, and ignores Kakashi's low chuckle from behind him. Instead, he looks at Karin, sees the faint hint of wariness deeply buried beneath a stubborn shell, and doesn't allow himself to sigh. "Well, we wouldn't be family if I said you couldn't stay, right? Come on, Firebrand. You should meet the others if you're going to be sticking around." "Ah," Kakashi murmurs in a tone of enlightenment. "A nickname. It's decided now. You're never going to let her go." "Fuck off, bastard. No one wants your opinion," Kurama tells him, rising to his feet. He hesitates, then glances down at Karin. And sage, but she's a hell of a lot shorter than the last time he saw her. Still definitely Karin, though. There's no doubt about that. "Want a ride?" he asks. "I can walk," Karin informs him tartly. "I'm 7, not 3. "Oh, she and Kushina are going to get along like a house on fire. Kurama's pretty sure he remembers his former Jinchuriki saying those exact words at one point or another." "I know that," he answers, and it comes out more patient than he actually feels. "But you don't have to, is what I'm saying." "I'll walk," Karin decides, though she at least mulls it over for a moment. She grabs the hem of Kurama's haori, which apparently means she's not going to let him get away, and looks up at the headwoman. "Goodbye, Tamario-sama."
"Goodbye, Karin," Tamario answers, and there's nothing of regret in her tone, but maybe a little sadness. "You are welcome back in Kusa any time you wish to visit your mother's grave."
For a moment, Karin's firm expression wavers, nearly crumples. Kurama can feel her trembling just a little where she's practically pressed against his leg, and her hand is white-knuckled in his haori. She doesn't say thank you, doesn't acknowledge the offer in any way, and from where he's standing, Kurama can see the marks in her skin again. It makes him want to break something. Tamario's face, preferably. Though he honestly isn't all that picky right now. "Come on," he says again, and drops a hand on top of her head. "The others are by the academy. It's not too far of a walk."
"I know,"
Karin says, and though her voice cracks on the last word, she forges on without acknowledging it. "I saw you playing earlier. Is it true you're all Jinchuriki? Is that why your chakra is so bright?"
"Jinchuriki have a lot more chakra than normal shinobi," Kurama confirms.
He steals another glance at her as they head out the administration building's doors, then asks, "You okay?"
Karin pauses, and even though she doesn't look back at her former headwoman, she's tense like she would bolt if she only knew what direction to run. I think, she says, clearly, with only the faintest tremble to it, that I changed my mind. Kurama doesn't have to ask what about. He scoops her up into his arms, and instantly Karin presses her face into his shirt, glasses digging into his shoulder. Splaying a hand over her small back, Kurama steps back into the shadows of a dense climbing vine, letting Kakashi loiter in the street like a lookout. They're the reason Mom's dead, Karin says, half muffled but still clear enough to make Kurama close his eyes and swallow down his anger. There was an attack, and she kept healing, and she told them she was tired, but they kept saying that being able to heal like she did was the only reason we could stay, and... She breaks off, and it's not a sob, but her breath hitches, and her grip on Kurama tightens just a little. A moment, and she raises her head, face set in mulish lines. I don't want to die for them, she insists. Mom did, but I won't. You won't, Kurama agrees. And when Karin gives him a sharp look, he holds her gaze steadily. If you don't ever want to heal again, that's fine. I know someone who'd be overjoyed to teach you to fight if you'd rather do that. Karin hesitates, scanning his face like she's looking for a tell. And Kurama remembers then that Karin's sensor abilities are strong enough that she can tell at a glance when people are lying. After a moment, she apparently decides that he's being truthful, because she nods, turns her face away, and says, I want to.
Kushina will be overjoyed,
Kakashi says, and when Kurama starts moving again, he joins them. There's still laughter coming from under the tree ahead, and Kurama makes for it without hesitation. That's what I was thinking, he agrees, and has to smile a little at the thought of Kushina's face when she realizes there's another Uzumaki around. One who isn't a mass murderer this time. The hulking shape of Han is clear in the moonlight, and when he catches Kurama's steps, he turns, tipping his hat back. A pause, clearly startled, and then he laughs, loud and entirely amused. What? Kurama demands, bristling. And that's enough to make Roshi look up from where he's showing Naruto a katon jutsu. The instant his eyes land on Karin, he snorts, rising to his feet and giving Kurama an amused look. Another one? He asks dryly. Is this a bloodline I don't know about? Or do you just have the worst luck of anyone in the elemental countries?
My luck is fine,
Kurama growls, crouching down to set Karin on her feet. And it's not like I fucking collect them. Extenuating goddamn circumstances, okay? Roshi laughs in his face, very pointedly. Monkey-brained asshole! Kurama snaps, then glances up at the four curious faces watching him. Five, if he's including Utakata. Hey, Kit, come here. This is your cousin, Karin. Karin Uzumaki Naruto. Naruto's face lights up, and he practically bounds forward.
You're my cousin?
He asks enthusiastically.
You're just as pretty as my mom!
Karin flushes red and shoves her glasses up her nose in a half-hearted attempt to hide it. My mom was pretty too, she says, as if daring him to contradict her. A pause, and she glances up at Kurama and then back at Naruto.
I'm 7, and I like okonomiyaki and perfume, and your chakra looks like sunshine. You can see chakra?
Naruto bounces closer to grab her hand and tug her towards the other Jinchuriki.
I'm Naruto, and I'm 6, and you should meet Fune and Yugitone and Gaara and Utakata. Have you ever ridden a fox before? Fuji and Momiji can teach you. They're Kurama needs summons, and they're really cool.
Karin looks slightly overwhelmed by the flood of words, but she doesn't resist Naruto's pull. And when Fu gives her a bright smile and a cheerful greeting, she tentatively smiles back.
Should we place bets on when he picks up the next one?
Roshi asks, not even trying to keep his voice down. Han chuckles and offers,
4 days.
3,
is Kakashi's verdict. And when Kurama shoots him a sour look, he just smiles back and wiggles his fingers in a mocking wave.
Really? Roshi asks, and he's grinning. The bastard! Clearly you two can't pick out patterns. 100 ryo on the next one, turning up before sunset the day after tomorrow.
Deal, Kakashi says.
Agreed, Han adds.
I hate you all!
Kurama growls and goes to collect the kids.